Ah, there's our topic.
Okay.
All right. Shall we start?
All right. All right. I got it. I got this.
Okay. Go for it.
So I think Sony needs to get out of the hardware market.
You think Sony needs to get out of the hardware market?
Definitely, definitely. They've had a third-rate console in North America for a long, long time. It's not really getting any better for them. The PS Vita not even out in the U.S. yet, and it's already just—it's hardly breaking sales records. It's breaking like low sales records right now. They should just give up the ghost right now, call it quits, forget about it.
You're saying Sony should go third party?
Definitely. Yep.
The thing people have been saying about Nintendo for the last, I don't know, since the N64.
Yeah, this time Sony deserves it, I think. It's been long enough. It's been five, six years. It's time. They should just call it quits.
I think they're finally making a profit now.
Are they?
On the PSP in Japan, did quite well. Quite well. I mean, we shouldn't forget about that. It was outselling the DS for quite a while. Actually, it's still outselling the DS.
What about the 3DS?
Now you raise something. But actually, the original PSP is outselling the PS Vita right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
On a worldwide basis and just in Japan. Hey! But some good news.
Yeah.
The Vita now, in its first month, has cracked the 500,000 mark.
Oh.
So congrats to them. Hey, that's a lot. Think about it. If we sold 500,000 Famicom Dojo DVDs, we'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, but our development costs are way lower, so we can't expect to sell that many.
Well, I suppose, but...
as well as our advertising budget.
But yeah, it's pretty bad. They've dropped below selling 20K a week.
Well,
and almost dropped below selling 15K a week.
That's no good.
Whereas the PSP, which apparently the market still likes, because I don't know, it seems people like a system that has games on it.
That's weird.
Is still pretty high. It's beating out the original DS. DS Lite, DSi, and DSLL systems combined. But of course, then there's the 3DS, which is selling about 80K a week now.
Yeah, yeah. So Nintendo's got a nice new handheld to beat out both Sony's old handheld and their new one combined, even, right?
Yeah.
And now Nintendo's going to release a new console by the end of the year that should blow everyone else away, I would imagine.
It might just blow. It might just blow. I was trying to think of a nice way to put it without being quite as in your face, but thank you, Sean, for cutting through that red tape.
Yep, no problem. So what you're not convinced?
I'm not seeing it yet. You know? They say, okay, Nintendo says it's out by the end of the year.
Sure.
But and, you know, true, that entails a possibility of another 10 months, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, they'll want to get it before Christmas. They'll want to get it probably before Black Friday.
Yeah, November 2006 was when the last system came out, so it'll be about 6 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see them, you know, pushing it is for that time, but for a system that close to launch... We haven't seen anything.
That's not entirely true. We had they're demonstrating things at CES.
Games?
Chase Me, some other Me thing. It was kind of a takeoff of that Pac-Man thing they did for GameCube, where you have like one person using the screen and they can see like the whole thing, and then everyone else has to run around on the TV.
Didn't Iwata make that like with Namco or something?
Yeah, I think so.
But okay, that sounds like a cool game. But okay, did they show anything at CES that was on a graphical level above the Wii?
There was that Zelda demo. It wasn't interactive, but they could like you could change like the camera angles and the lighting like on the fly, like day or night. And yeah, so there was it was interactive in that way, just to demonstrate the ability of it to render high resolution graphics, but yeah, nothing but playable.
That was the same demo they showed at E3, though.
Sure.
And like, it's pretty much common knowledge right now that at E3 there was no finalized hardware.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look any different than it did back in E3.
That's the thing. I wonder if there's finalized hardware yet.
Why wouldn't there be?
Well, if you have this shiny new hardware, uh-huh, and you want to attract developers to it, wouldn't you, I don't know, be showing off something? Now, there's the rumor that some developers have gotten this and that they say, again, this is rumor, they say it's about twice as powerful as the Xbox 360.
I'm not really sure what that means. Twice what exactly?
Exactly. But they say that the Xbox 3 is going to have 8 times the power. But yeah, power sounds like such an arbitrary thing.
Who's saying this exactly? Like, it's the first I've heard of it. You haven't cited any sources yet.
The source would be someone that Kotaku knows.
Oh, well.
Okay, I know. But apparently the next Microsoft console will have Blu-ray. Okay. Will be 8 times the power. And we'll have some kind of weird anti-used game thing.
What?
All it says is Microsoft intends to incorporate some sort of anti-used game system as part of their so-called Xbox 720. I really hope that's not the name. Then again, Xbox 360, I was like, I really hope that's not the name. But it was, and okay.
This is all...
I think they should call it an Xbox 180 and go back to their roots and release a retro console.
Instead of the 180. No, all right. So this is all from the same unnamed source.
Rumor. Yeah.
Assuming that's true, that's a really not smart thing to go ahead and do.
Which one?
The anti-used games thing.
There's such a crusade against used games, though, lately.
I guess
community and stuff like that. I mean, you knew about Biohazard Mercenaries, Resident Evil Mercenaries,
right? Yeah,
the only the one save slot,
and yeah, from what I've heard since then, it's not entirely true that you can't delete it, but you can't really get back to a fresh new save experience or whatever.
Like if you buy the game used, you can probably still play the game, but all the records and there's a multiplayer component to that game, and right, you'll never be able to create your own character. You will be playing, which I just think, like, I rarely sell games, and if I see a game that I really like, maybe I will buy it new. But even then, like, sometimes I like to just wipe the data and try unlocking everything again.
Sure. Well, we've gone over this before, in varying degrees, but in this specific case, like, even in the current generation, even in this current generation, there are things you can't go back and do again. Like, you can't unlock achievements again on the Xbox unless you start up like a whole new profile. But it's doable. Yeah. It's doable with the same disc. Yeah. But most people won't. Most people just won't do that.
Well, I can understand that.
But yeah, it doesn't quite go to the same level as not being able to play a game again once you've played it. And as we said before, if they want people to stop buying used games, they should just make their games cheaper and sell more copies. Because, it's just not possible for so many people to buy these games. Especially the kinds of titles I like to buy, geared towards a small and shrinking audience, you're not going to be able to get more money from fewer people by making if you keep making the games more expensive and making it possible for them to play the old ones, they just won't play your game at all.
But I mean, I totally believe developers should be compensated. Definitely, definitely.
Sure.
But it's like, and I'm not a business guy. I don't claim to be. But I see it the same way I see Japanese movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the Japanese movie theaters are fairly rare. Like, my town doesn't even have one. I have to go to, like, a neighboring town to even see a movie.
Okay.
And they're quite expensive. Like, to see a movie, like, a regular evening price is, like, $20.
Well, it's getting close to that here, too.
I suppose. Or if you see a 3D movie, it's, like, $25.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What's a movie cost? What's a movie cost in America?
It used to be like, you know, only the big cities had like $10 movies. Now that's pretty much the norm. Matinees are like $7 now, which is what a movie used to cost. Yeah. So, but you know, then there's a 3D thing, and that's like $15 and up. Especially if you're trying to buy online, they gouge you that way, but like convenience fees and other nonsense like that.
I think when I left, like a matinee was like $6, and a regular movie was like $8. So.
Yeah, but you left like most of a decade ago.
That was a number of years ago, yeah. But anyway, so I remember when a movie was $4.
Yeah, right.
I do, actually. Matinee was $2.50.
I wouldn't mind a $5 matinee now. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Getting back to it.
Yeah, Japan has that problem with that, like, in the CD market, too. It's, like, $30 for a new CD or whatever. And, you know, the used market is thriving as a result. I mean, one of the first things I did when I got to Tokyo, my first time ever, is just scoured all these, you know, used game and music stores. And they had all kinds of things that you could pick up for super, super cheap. So it's the high prices that help drive the used game market in the first place.
Well, they allow CD rental in Japan as well.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. But not game rental. Game rental is illegal.
Illegal,
yeah. You cannot, the store cannot rent out games.
Must be a pretty powerful game lobby.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Much more powerful than the music lobby, apparently, because in America, I don't know if it's illegal or not, but nobody does it, you know, to have rental of, you know, music.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, rental's kind of a, in quotes, because, I mean, you take the CD home, you rip it, you know?
Right.
I mean, because it's weird. It's weird. Like, at these rental stores in Japan, they have, like, these whole like, aisles of blank CDR media right next to the checkout.
Mm.
It's like, huh, that's convenient. <You know? laughs> Well, I mean, why would the rental shop care what you do with it after you've paid, so?
Right.
But anyway... So there's these movie theaters in Japan, and they charge these exorbitant prices. So I'll go to see a movie, like, occasionally. I really haven't seen one for a long time, but when I do, you know, I'll go in there. And, I mean, it can happen in America, too, but these are movies that have just come out. These are pretty new. Like, I saw Iron Man 2 in its, like, second week.
Okay.
And I went in, and the theater was about 1/4 full. This is, as I said, this is early on in the movie's lifespan. You know, this is when you'd still be expecting to mostly fill a room in America. But I've gone and seen movies in there, even like a Ghibli film, like a really. I went to see Ponyo. You know Ponyo?
Oh yeah.
I went to see that. I mean, it had been out for a few weeks at that point, but I went to see it, and I and my two nieces that I took there were the only people in the theater.
Wow.
We were the only people there, and they were showing this movie.
When during the week was this?
It was on a Saturday.
Ooh.
Like matinee time. So.
Bad news.
I mean, that movie made tons of money, but like, mind, couldn't it have made more money? Like, so. We paid, let's see, they had children's prices, and we paid about $60 altogether.
That's insane. For just the three of you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, to see a movie, I know.
For a matinee?
So, might have been 50, but either way, it was more than any proposed DVD of the movie will cost, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so we went to see the movie, and... As I was leaving the theater, I thought, okay, the theater just made $60 minus the cost of running that projector, which can't have been cheap, you know.
Right.
And, you know, having the staff of the theater. And, you know, things like that. They made, I don't know, maybe after it, like maybe $30. Now, there are like, I don't know, 200 seats in that theater. Not super big, you know. But, yeah, there's probably about 200 seats in that theater. Now, if they would have charged $5 per person, could they have gotten the break-even point for that would have been for their matinee to get, let's say, 12 people to make the same amount of money?
I guess. Well, I mean, I think your estimation of how much money they make off of the $60 you paid them is probably a bit optimistic.
Oh yeah, I'd say so. But
it's kind of like the dirty secret of like movies and like gas stations is like, you know, you don't actually make any money at the thing you're selling. You make it in concessions, which is why they cost so much.
Yeah. I can imagine that, but I mean, regardless.
Yeah.
For the studio. Or whatever, whatever's involved, would it make more money? Like, I mean, a long time ago, people would go to the movies all the time when they were, you know, cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then again, I don't know. But that's what I'm wondering. Now, the iTunes marketplace is a good example. Games are super cheap, and they sell a lot.
Right.
But a lot of developers don't make any money off of it.
Right.
You know, only like a lot of the big companies make money off of it, or a small developer who has just the current it game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make a lot of money. But is that a sustainable business model? I just don't know. Anyway. I wonder what kind of anti-piracy thing it is.
Is it piracy or is it just used games?
They say anti-used games, but what does that mean? Maybe when you get a new game, you have to like register to Xbox Live or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they just took it one step further and centralized it like that, and there's like, you know, you had to buy an activation code to play the game. It would piss me off, and I think it would be a terrible idea, and I wouldn't support that system as a result.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd play my 360 to death until they turned off, you know, the live servers for it, and then that would be it. I'd be sad, but I don't know. I guess I'd be playing my Wii U instead.
Let's see how far your conviction will take you. Okay. What Mass Effect 4, Xbox 720 exclusive. Okay.
Doubtful, but okay.
I know, doubtful, but say it is. Say it is. Say they really need some titles like that to make people go, okay, I will accept these horrible conditions. Okay, it's on that console.
Yeah.
Does your morality, I mean, does your sense of ethics keep you from playing that game?
I think my sense of my pocketbook will keep me from playing it, because I've never bought a console to play a game.
Okay. That's a fair answer. Wii U.
Yeah, what games am I looking forward to on that? I don't know, because they haven't announced any.
I'm looking forward to Zelda non-playable demo. And I'm looking forward to Ninja Gaiden 3 with Xbox 360 footage shown at E3.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to Lego Type Sims, which is the only game we have a screenshot for at this time.
Well, but we don't need those things because we know Nintendo's reputation. We know they're going to make great games for it. And, you know, third parties, it sounds like, you know, well, this happens every time, though. It's like Nintendo announces new console, third parties get excited, announce all these great games for it, and then the reality of the market hits. And either that first slew of games doesn't sell very well and the third parties aren't interested anymore, or, you know, Nintendo does their thing, doesn't release their really good stuff for launch and sort of trickles it out later on. But I don't need those things up front to get this system. I think, especially because it's the only one that exists right now, the only one that has actually really been solidly confirmed and has been shown, I'll get it.
I guess, but I could say that we're releasing the Super Famicom Dojo box or whatever. And I could hold up a mock up and I could be like, so get excited about this. But I don't know, like, I don't think there were, at E3, I'm pretty sure there were no internals in that system. You know? Because they've already said that, like, the hardware isn't finalized. What was in that box? I don't think it was even hooked up to anything.
Okay, you've lost your mind now. They showed the exact same unit that we've seen in screenshots and other videos at CES. You know, it's running from that machine.
Okay, maybe by CES it was.
To say it's not finalized, I don't know what that means. We've seen it. We've seen the controllers. I mean, they say it's not finalized, but there's probably not much of a reason to change it at this point. Like, how much did the Wii change from when we first saw it? Hardly at all. Like, the GameCube, I know they tried to get rid of the directional pad, and they ended up not doing that. But, like, structurally, the controller never really changed, except for the button layout a little bit.
I think the Wii U controller is going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I guess the point is at this point in the game, ooh,
clever.
Like, I need to see what this thing can actually do.
I mean,
tech demos are great, but I want to see a game running on it.
I don't know what to tell you. There's E3 coming up.
Where is my future? show me the future of gaming, Nintendo. Because, okay, they did the same thing with the Wii. Remember, Iwata went on stage and said, when you see the graphics, you'll say, wow. And he was right, I did, because when I saw the graphics, I said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the translator didn't get the tone right.
Oh.
Because I was like, wow, that's horrible. Because before everything came out, like, they did some screens of what Red Steel was going to look like, and it looked awesome. And then the actual game came out, and it was like, wow, it's pretty bad. Like, the only game on that system, like, early on that I thought that it looked at all next gen at all was Mario Galaxy.
I don't agree.
Everything really? Okay, what was the game that you had on the Wii that you went, wow, they could not have done this on the GameCube? I mean, controller aside.
What? Oh, well, I never thought that.
Okay.
I didn't expect anything more than that. I knew it was going to be a 480p at best system, so that, you know, graphically it didn't need to push a lot harder than that. I was going to say, like, it looked better than the GameCube Zelda, but it was the exact same game.
Yeah. It was letterboxed.
Yeah, it was letterboxed.
They were able to do that, yeah.
But, you know, I honestly can't remember, like, seeing a lot of games before I got the Wii and thought, oh, I got to play that. You know, I just wanted the Wii. I think really it was mostly the controller. It was mostly the promise it held and the things you can do with it. And I waited overnight for the first time ever for a console. Well, you know, I went to like Walmart or Target or whatever at like midnight for the GameCube, but there was nobody like lined up outside for it.
And no one ever lined up for it.
Yeah. So
basically, you will buy this system because it's the next system by Nintendo.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled at first, but I've seen enough where it's like, okay, you know, they seem to be getting the hang of this thing. The 3DS, if it's any indication, just the whole DS line, basically, of improving on the model that the Wii first brought forward of, like, you know, multiplayers. And I still don't like friend codes, but at least, you know, the way the 3DS works is you have the system friend code and that's it.
Yeah,
you don't have individual game codes anymore. So it's
I don't have any friends though.
it's getting better. Things I don't like about the way Nintendo does things are improving. And I'm sure there's going to be some wonderful first party games that I'm going to want to play. And until they announce another, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, I don't see any reason to get games for the Wii U that are third party that I can get on a different console. Like, you know, if they for some reason do release a Mass Effect 4.
Well, Yeah.
Before the next 360.
So you're planning to go multi-console again next generation.
Well, I haven't heard or seen anything from the other consoles. Like So this is the first time I've invested in the Microsoft line.
Yeah.
You know? And so it might be hard for me not to upgrade, especially because I know what's going to happen given what happened with the original Xbox last year, shutting off the live servers and everything. There'll just come a point where all the stuff I depend on for my enjoyment on the 360 will just go away, and I can play the games and stuff, but I'm sure I'll be able to play them just as easily on the next system, you know, stick them in the drive and probably transfer all my save files over, and away we go.
Hopefully.
Just think about it. It's like so much, there's so much money now tied up with like your purchases that you can't resell. And if they just invalidate them and say, oh, you can't play this stuff anymore, that's going to drive people away. So,
This is a major turning point for me to see what the future of gaming is going to be, actually. Because this is going to be the first time we're going to have consoles with tons of, like, downloadable content moving into the next generation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, like, you could download things for the original Xbox, and, like, it didn't really transfer over.
Well, the save files for the disc-based games didn't transfer over either.
Yeah, but I mean, like even more so, like if you, there weren't many games available to download from the original Xbox Live. It was more of a game. I don't know. At least that's the impression that I got, because I don't really remember really hearing much about them.
Yeah,
but I don't believe those made the transition over.
No,
but like now we have consoles all have downloadable. You know, we've got WiiWare, mm-hmm. and we've got, you know, the stuff from Xbox Live Marketplace and the PSN store. So I'm really curious to see if the companies are really making it that okay, once you've bought this game, you own it forever, or please rebuy this.
Yeah, if it's please rebuy this, then they can forget it. I'm done with them. There's no chance I'm going to. You know, some people, it doesn't matter to them because what they do, and this isn't typical of you or me, I think, but they will play a game for a while and they'll sell it and try and recoup the cost of having purchased it in the first place, which is just, you know, crazy to me. But, you know, on the other hand, I'm able to play it forever, partly because I keep all my systems. So it's not really much of an issue for me if I can't upgrade. I'll just keep playing the old ones until, you know, whatever features online or whatever can't be supported anymore, or there's a hard drive failure and I can't transfer it over again and reauthorize because the live servers won't let me. So there's that too. That's another problem with digital distribution and its pitfalls. But so then someone could probably ask me, well, Sean, if you don't have a problem paying for a game and never getting your cost back, why wouldn't you mind buying it again? And it's like, well, because I wouldn't buy it again. Probably. It's like I have bought a lot of games I never played as a kid for like my NES. I've started a Sega collection, something I would never really was into as a kid at all. And now I have all kinds of Master System and Genesis games that I never got to experience the first time around. But I've, you know, unless like really exceptional games like Mario Brothers or Zelda, I don't have multiple copies of it.
I can see that. I have a lot of copies of World of Goo. Have you played World of Goo?
No, but I have a similar experience with Peggle or...
Peggle's another one that I have on like
Plants
5.
Plants vs. Zombies,
Plants vs. Zombies, any PopCap game. Because they'll have like a sale or something, and you're like, I don't have Peggle on my toaster. What if I want to play it while I'm eating bread? You know.
Yeah, exactly. Very important. The bread demographic.
Yes, of course. So for you, Wii U is a buy because of the potentials of the hardware.
Yeah. It's not for my existing stuff because I'll have my Wii. And if it doesn't transfer, that'll suck, but it won't keep me from buying the Wii U in particular. If they implement anything like what Microsoft wants, though, I'll definitely think twice.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Microsoft really wants it. I expect the next, you know, Wii U Zelda game to be great. all of its wonderful staples. I really, really want new titles. Because I was talking with like Phil Bond and some other people about this in the last week or so, but it seems like the last really new IP Nintendo made was like all those Wii Mii-based games.
Yeah.
Which is kind of too bad in one way, but on you know on the other hand, some of those were some of the most fun things I've played. Like Wii Play isn't bad.
I still haven't tried that.
All the
nor,
team games.
Nor have I tried Wii Music.
Oh, I haven't tried that either.
But nobody did. That's the problem with that one. Yeah.
The Sonic games don't really have sequels. Like you know, there's like Wii Fit Resort or something, right?
No, it's like Wii Fit Plus Wii and Fit Wii Plus. Sports Resort.
Wii Sports Resort. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, so they've quasi-sequelized both of those things. But, you know, in at least one of those cases, it was actually trying to integrate new hardware, the Wii Motion Plus control. And I've heard people who played Wii Sports Resort, because I haven't, who've played Zelda and have said, like, how much of, like, the mini games from Wii Sports Resort made it into Zelda as actual stuff you did during the regular game.
Which is
both brilliant and kind of like, I've been here, done that.
We're all paying to be beta testers.
I'm not because I didn't buy that game. Although I guess I would have gotten it if I had gotten the Wii Motion Plus controller.
Yeah.
Or the add-on. Was it just the add-on that they came with? I don't remember which it was.
It came with one add-on and that weird silicone cover thing that...
Okay. Yeah, because I skipped over that because I'd rather get new Wii remote controllers than get the clunky add-ons.
Well, there was not on the horizon at the time, but
right. Well, as of this moment, I still only have the one that came with Zelda, and I'm going to need three more to work with the Wii U, which is fine. That means I'll have enough controllers for the Wii and the Wii U.
I don't know. Personally, I'd wait just in case the Wii U controller does something different.
Yeah,
it'll be compatible with the old Wii controllers. Yeah. They already said that, but maybe they're going to make one that has something else. So you might want to hold off.
But that's like another great point, and another nice thing is that they are fully backwards compatible, and there probably won't be a lot of games, I would imagine, that would absolutely require the Wii Motion Plus.
Is that a good thing, though?
Well, okay. I can't imagine the 360 or the PS3 controllers being obsolete either. Like, if they release wholly new controllers, especially for as much as they cost, I would be surprised.
I suppose. So...
Well, okay. I take that back. They're going to want to brand at least the 360 or the whatever the next Microsoft console is.
Yeah.
They're going to want to rebrand it according to that. So
yeah.
At the very least, I'm hoping that they're just going to keep it to like a facelift. And you can use your old controllers if you want to. But like going forward, you like might want to buy these new ones. But, you know, Microsoft's already done the thing with the crazy extra buttons. Like, you know, can you even remember like what the white and black buttons looked like or where they were placed? It's like there's a core controller design, four face buttons, two directional pads, start button, maybe select the directional pad, and then two shoulder buttons on each side, and that's pretty much what everything has. The Wii being a bit different, there aren't really so many face buttons, but they're around still. And it's Really, that's all based on the Super Nintendo controller design, if you go back far enough.
The Wii controller?
Well, no, the other controllers, you know, the four phase like buttons, the directional
pad. The
Wii
controller is a lot more like a Famicom controller, actually.
No, yeah, it is. Yeah. But, you know, the other competitors basically have like coalesced around this one thing. So unless like Sony plans on like working the Move more into its mainline for its next console.
Oh, you know. It hasn't done well enough for that. Kinect, though, I think Kinect will be a major factor in the next Xbox.
Now, that's Kinect, something that's worth talking about, because I've heard things about Kinect, too.
Yeah. That it'll have that built-in processor, so it won't, like, be a resource hog and stuff like that.
It'll have a higher resolution camera as well.
Yep.
I think, you know, the way I heard it was that the Kinect came out before it was really ready, but it was to compete with Nintendo on one hand, just to kind of show what it can do. And I have to admit, having used it more and more, I really do like it. I don't own one myself still. I thought it was too pricey. I actually went out of my way to get an Xbox without one at a time when it was really hard to find them without one.
So
small correction for those who heard whichever episode that was that we discussed it maybe once or twice. But the standalone Xboxes with hard drives and without Kinect still do exist. But I was just at that weird time when the Kinect first launched that they just weren't pushing those out because they were trying to get people to buy the Kinect. And I just absolutely staunchly refused. And I'm kind of upset now because the Xboxes that come with hard drives, just like the original model, the new model has that nice silver trim. And I didn't realize until I saw someone else's that mine didn't have that because I bought the model without the hard drive.
Yep.
Just so I could avoid buying a Kinect.
Wow.
So the Kinect isn't worth $150 to me, but the silver trim might be.
Sean, you're an amazing, amazing person.
Okay. I don't think amazing is the word you were looking for.
No, but it's the first one that came to mind.
Okay, I see.
So...
the nicest one.
So
anyway.
what do you think about E3? You think Nintendo's gonna blow the doors off the room? They're gonna show a bunch of stuff. They're gonna build up the hype. Like at the E3 right before the Wii was launched, they showed they had playable Mario Galaxy and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like I feel like we're kind of blowing our pre E3 wad here just by talking about it. Oh, 5 months ahead of time.
Is it really that long?
More like four and a half. It's usually early June.
I suppose. Well, I mean, we'll definitely revisit it as the rumors continue ramping up, but it doesn't really matter what's released there because I already know the winner.
The consumer?
No. Oh, the consumer's screwed. if the game companies have anything to say about it. And keep in mind, when I say game companies, I mean the companies. I mean the corporate structure. Like, game developers, I have nothing but respect for.
Yeah.
And if they're the ones who are pushing the downloadable content, I still have respect for them because they produce the things that build up the happiest of my memories. So,
right.
But I already know the winner.
Okay. So who's the winner?
It's not Nintendo.
Oh, no.
It's not Sony.
It's not Sony. It's not Microsoft either, I imagine. Is it Sega?
In my mind, Sega will always be the winner.
Is it Hudson Soft? Rest in peace.
Nope. Oh. But you're getting close. There's only one thing on our meta takes you haven't named.
It's Apple.
No. No. Apple's not even on our tags.
I don't know.
It's SNK.
What?
Yeah. Have you seen this thing? Of course you have. You sent me the link. But fan ignorance. Neo Geo Pocket 2.
Yeah. Wow. I'm all over this.
I still don't know what it is, but I'm clicking fervently to see if I can pre-order it somewhere.
Well, it's like a licensed version of some other like small handheld. But it's got like the built-in SNK games, and they've reconfigured the face to match what you would need to do to play SNK games. Because the one I saw had like two nubs and like a couple of buttons below them, and that was about it.
It looks like an iPhone 4 with a control pad, which is like my ultimate gaming system.
Yeah, I mean it's a really sexy looking device, I got to say, and just seeing it with the Neo Geo logo on it is enough to make me want to buy it. Honestly,
that's the thing though. Like, I don't know any specs about it. I don't know anything about hardware, cost, anything like that. All I know is it's like a little black unit that looks like it has a click stick like the original Neo Pocket.
Yeah.
The face buttons, and it has a Neo Geo logo on it. And it's like, I'll buy it just because. Well, as you'll see in an upcoming episode, I like the Neo Geo.
I was wondering if we should also do the Pocket, and now that this thing's coming, I wonder if we should hold off on waiting until we can get our hands on one and do a little comparison. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I worry that once I get my hands on one, though, Famicom Dojo is over because I'll just be playing that all the time.
Oh, man.
No.
It's going to be 20 games you've played before, though.
But in a Pocket. Okay, here's what intrigues me, though. It's got an SD card port.
Yeah, right?
Now, like, because at first I'm like, oh, is it one of those, like, built-in games, like the Atari flashback thing, you know, where it's like the Atari controller with 20 games built into it that you hook up to your TV. So I was worried, because they have a number of Sega systems like that.
Right.
And I think some of them do have a cartridge port, but most of them don't. So it's just like, it's these built-in games and that's it. But like, if there's an SD card slot, maybe, come on, SNK, I want all the Metal Slugs on there. And I want new Neo Geo games, okay? Is that too much to ask? Just restart making retro games. Hire back all the old programmers. Go back to 16-bit dev kits. and just restart the company the way I liked it, okay? Come on, that's not too much to ask.
I think you're thinking too small. I think yeah. You should be thinking about a converter, a huge converter pin for those massive Neo Geo carts.
You're right.
Granted, the torque would be a little terrible. That would probably snap the converter in half.
Not if you have some kind of built-in basket mechanism. But you're right. You're right. This system should play Neo Geo carts. And Neo Geo Pocket games. And Dreamcast discs. I mean, why stop there?
I don't even know, like, as big as those carts are, if this little handheld could even power that whole thing. Probably not.
I think we're seeing it wrong. Like, okay. We're trying to build a cart slot into the system.
Yeah.
We should be building a system slot into the cart.
You're right. Oh, that'd be
because
great.
Because it would be a lot easier for that thing to just slip into a Neo Geo cart than the other way around.
Just buy this little adapter and you can play any Neo Geo game. Well, no. I mean, like what if they sold little SD cards, even if it was like a semi-proprietary format with like you know, other games or collections of games on it, I'd buy it.
Yeah. I know. As long as the cartridge said like 100 Mega Shock. 100 Giga Mega Shock.
Nice.
Yes. Yes. We'll buy. Anyway, that concludes our whatever this podcast was.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking wishes and rumors.
Yeah, wishes and rumors sounds good. I again think that it'll just take until E3 before this gets sorted out. We'll see some games by then, especially if they are serious about releasing a console by the end of the year. We'll know what we're buying.
Yep. Hey, how long till Xenoblade?
I forgot.
I mean, April. That game will last me until the Wii U.
Okay. So it's like 2.5 months until Xenoblade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm good.
So the Wii's not totally dead. Wonderful games coming out.
There is.
Maybe they'll announce Last Story for Wii U. One can hope.
Nice. You know what would be really nice? If it was actually the last game on the system. It was Nintendo's last release title for the thing.
Well, I mean, the Wii...
So you like the Wii? This is the Last Story. What do you mean? That's the... No, this is the Last Story.
And then by the time the Wii U comes out, since it's all backwards compatible, it can be the first game you play in your Wii U.
Ooh.
Eh?
Ooh.
Eh?
The last story is the first game. It's only the beginning.
Now, if only Wii U would upscale to 720p, we know what can be done. We've seen Dolphin.
Do it, Nintendo. Do it.
It's not too late. Turn back now.
Do it. We know you're listening. Okay. Anyway, I gotta get going. So.
All right.
I'll see you later.
See you later.
We gotta end with a haiku. End with a haiku.
Okay, haiku time.
Okay. We have a new one from Ugly Joe. Okay?
And all right.
The haiku goes as follows. Old man with fake beard rambles a Nintendo yarn, falls asleep on couch.
Wow. Both poetic and accurate.
I know. It's poignant. It's poignant. And thank you, Ugly Joe.
Yeah.
That's the first haiku we've received about the least popular episode of Famicom Dojo.
Oh! Although we did get that endorsement from Earl Grey III at the end of a Sega Mark III video. So there's that too.
I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back. Gotta get a new sweater. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So to send us your own sweet haikus, drop us a line at Twitter, Famicom Dojo. Check out FamicomDojo.tv to check out our sweet videos and old podcasts. like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube, and until next week, Dojo Disciples.
Famicom Dojo.